Well, good morning. I want to invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 4. We're here this morning for really what sort of one primary purpose, even though I'm going to say two things. We're here to encounter God together and hear words from Him. And He's really what we need. There's a lot of things we could concentrate on as a church and emphasize and focus on, but we choose to focus on Jesus and drawing near to Him and hearing from Him, because He's who we need. And this morning, we're going to... What I need to say is we're going to read a passage out of the Old Testament. Now, what I'll say is that, of course, you can understand this. Anyone who reads it can understand it, I think, and it makes sense. But at the same time, I will say, because Jesus taught us this, that the Old Testament cannot be understood apart from Jesus Christ. So if you read the Old Testament and you're not understanding it Christologically, you're misunderstanding it. Jesus said, these are the Scriptures that testify of Me, and beginning with Moses and the prophets, He explained to them everything of Himself concerning the Scripture. So, the testimony that we're going to read here in Genesis chapter 4 can only be understood in terms of Christ. But, I want us to take a look at it first, and then we'll go to the New Testament and see if we can understand it better. So, look at Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to read 1 through 16. Now, this is your passage there says Cain and Abel, but if you read this story with me, it really jumped out at me this time. It's very much the story of Abel, even though Cain is mentioned. It's very much the story of Cain, even though Abel is mentioned. It just surprised me how much of this is really all about Cain. But here we go. Verse 1. What am I reading here? It's a Holy Bible, New International Version. This must be the new International Version. So prepare yourselves. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering He did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let us go out into the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. The Lord said to Cain, "Where's your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hands. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Well, let's see if I can summarize what we've read there. We meet these two brothers. The first one we meet is Cain, and he's a farmer. And then we meet his brother Abel, and he's a shepherd. And they both brought offerings to the Lord. Cain brought his crops, and Abel brought his lambs. And as we continue reading the text, we find that God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he rejected Cain's sacrifice. Now, the text here doesn't say why God accepted one and rejected one. It just tells us what happened. But it does say that when the Lord addresses Cain, he says, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." And so, I think if we are trying to put this together based on the data that we have here in the Old Testament, we must conclude that what Cain did was wrong, and therefore not accepted. Because he says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? So why wasn't he accepted? Because he did what was wrong. Y'all tracking with me on this so far? So what did he do? Well, what we know he did from the text is he made a sacrifice. It seems impossible, but if we just try to read this in context, it seems like when Cain made the sacrifice, he was actually doing something wrong. Is that how you read it? He did, and doesn't it seem impossible to us? But that in giving a sacrifice, that we could be doing something wrong. Now, I know that probably isn't making a lot of sense to you, but stay with me. Moreover, sin is not just something we do, but just like we saw in Romans, so we see here in Genesis, sin is like a power, and it's crouching at the door of Cain's life, and it's not only bad things that he does, but a power that wants to overwhelm him and rule him. It's crouching at the door, desires to have you, and God says you must master it. And we, like Cain, find ourselves in the same position. Sin is a power and it's trying to rule over us, but we need to master it before it does. But Cain didn't do it. He did not master sin. Sin took control, and what was the fruit of it? He took his brother out into the field and he murdered him. Then God confronted Cain, saying that Abel's blood was crying out to him from the ground. Now, we don't know what the blood was saying, and we think there's obviously somewhat metaphorical. I say obviously, someone else, it's not obvious. That's the way obvious things are, amen? It seems obvious to me that there's not a voice. It's like, but it's this metaphor, the blood is crying out to the Lord. And if you try to figure out, well, what's the blood saying? Well, it's not actually saying anything, but there's been this horrendous crime, and the blood, like this blood stain on the ground, it's like calling out, and I can see it saying things like guilty, and if it's Abel and it's personifying Abel's, it seems like that blood would be crying out for vengeance. And so the blood of Abel, I think if this is a fair way to read this text, is crying out to God for vengeance because of this unjust murder. And so God pronounces judgment on Cain. Alright, now that's the sad story. But how are we to make any sense of it? And that brings us to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 14. Because we're in a little series on living by faith, and we're taking a look at some of the great heroes of the faith and the kind of faith they had. And here's we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. We're going to take a look at the faith of Abel and in a way how the kind of sacrifice of faith or something like that. But let's read now verse 4, because here we get sort of inspired commentary on the story that we just read in Genesis. And here's what it says, verse 4. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. So the let's just break that first phrase down together. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. This gives us the answer to the most perplexing question from Genesis chapter 4. In my opinion, the big question is, why did God accept Abel's offering? And why did God reject Cain's offering? That seems to be the big question. That the text doesn't exactly answer, other than Cain did what Cain did was wrong and what Abel did was right. Perhaps. We kind of have to tease that out of the Genesis account. But the answer, another way to phrase the question is, what was wrong with Cain's sacrifice? Why did God accept Abel's and reject Cain's? And the only explicit answer given in the text is right here in Hebrews 11, chapter 4. And it tells the reason. Why did God accept Abel's sacrifice according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4? Because it was offered in faith. And so we kind of have to, not 100% sure, but it seems to be a logical inference that the reason he rejected Cain's offering was because it was not offered in faith. The standard interpretation that I always heard growing up, and probably many of you, if I invited you to come up and preach, could preach this sermon and preach it well. And it goes like this, that the reason God accepted Abel's sacrifice and the reason God rejected Cain's sacrifice is Abel offered lambs. Well, in order to offer lambs as a sacrifice, what do you have to do? You have to kill them, and you have to shed their blood. And the shedding of blood is so important. All throughout the Old Testament, it's this prophetic type that's pointing to a fulfillment of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But the blood of these lambs is important. And the writer of Hebrews will also say, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so, the standard sort of interpretation is, the reason God accepted Abel was because he offered blood. The reason he rejected Cain was because Cain didn't offer blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And therefore, the blood of Christ could not be put into effect, and that's why one offering was accepted and one was rejected. And I don't have a problem with that interpretation, because it leads to a great conclusion, that we need the blood of Jesus Christ if we're going to be right with God. But I do have a problem with it, because that's not what the text says. The text doesn't say accepted one because it was blood and didn't accept the other because it was not. It says that God accepted Abel's sacrifice. Why? Because it was offered in faith. So see, here the focus is not on following the proper procedure. It's as if Abel got it right because he followed the right procedure. And Cain got it wrong because he followed the wrong procedure. And so that God is judging these external things. Oop, you missed it. That's not how I said to do it. You got it wrong. Boom, you're judged. No. Abel's sacrifice, according to the inspired commentary on Genesis chapter 4, Abel's sacrifice flowed from his faith, while the sacrifice of Cain did not. Here the focus is not on following proper procedure, but rather proper motivation. Abel was a man of faith, Cain was not. I'm convinced that if Cain had offered the lambs, and Abel had offered the crops, that God would have still accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain's offering. Because it didn't have to do with what was offered. It had to do with why it was offered and how it was offered. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can check off every box, dot every I, cross every T. And if it's not flowing from faith, it's unacceptable to the living God. In Genesis 4:4, you want to flip back? You don't have to, because I'm going to read it to you. But I want you to see, this is stunning. Because look at the emphasis of the way this text is written. It doesn't say that God rejected Cain's offering and accepted Abel's offering. It does say that, but that's not all it says. Look at this. In verse 4. I gave you the wrong one. But look, here it is, verse 5. But look, listen. But on Cain and his offering, the Lord did not look with favor, but on Abel and his offering, he did look with favor. See, we think it's about the offerings, but it's not about the offerings here. It's about the offerer. We think this is a story about making the right kind of sacrifice. It's not. It's a story about being the right kind of sacrificer. It's about the person. And that dictates their behavior, which makes them acceptable to God or not. And that person is controlled by whether or not they're putting their faith, that motivation, the offerer, the sacrificer. Their fitness is determined by whether or not they are putting their faith and their trust in the living God as they make their offering, not about what they put on the altar. Now granted, your fitness as a sacrificer will impact what goes on the altar, no doubt. But that's the fruit. That's the result. What God's looking at is the one who gives the offering. And that's why I reject the interpretation that blood made Abel's sacrifice acceptable. God was not only interested in his offering. He was interested in the one who was making the offering. Abel's sacrifice, you know why it was accepted? It was accepted because Abel was the one who was offering it. And Cain's sacrifice, you know why it was rejected? Because Cain was the one who was rejecting it. I mean, offering it. But why? Why did God accept Abel and his offering and reject Cain and his offering? And that's what we learn from Hebrews 11:4. And the answer's not complicated. The answer is faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. I know that this it's hard to think sometimes on a Sunday morning, but there's some things that are connected that we have to understand. And so what I want you to see, by faith, Abel's offering was accepted. Yes, by faith, Abel was accepted. And so it was Abel's faith that made him acceptable to God. Abel was believing and trusting himself to the living God. And that made Abel acceptable to the living God. And that faith also made his sacrifice acceptable to God. That's the way, only way we can understand this text. With Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. But on Abel and his offering, he did look with favor. How did Abel give this offering that was better? By faith. And so it's the faith that made Abel acceptable to God so that he could offer a sacrifice that was acceptable to God. So here's the conclusion. First one that I want us to draw, and that is there is no sacrifice that an unacceptable person can give to God that will make that person acceptable. And that's why I say, even if Cain had covered that altar with the blood of thousands of rams, it would not have made him acceptable to God. Why not? Come on. I'll start over. Because he didn't have faith. God's favor and God's approval are not for sale. And they can't be earned by ticking all the boxes and following proper procedures. They can only be received as a gift that comes to faith. Apparently, Cain, now this is where I have to be somewhat speculative, and I try to let you know when I'm speculating. Apparently, why did Cain give this offering? And Abel, we know, he was motivated by faith. Why did Cain do it? Why did Cain give an offering? I think it's quite possible that Cain was giving an offering for the same reason, that other people throughout all of history have given offerings to God. Why do people give offerings to God? Now, some of you are thinking about Christians, but I'm thinking worldwide, history of religions. Why do people give offerings to God? They want His favor. And in fact, let me say it like this, see if you all agree. Because it's an investment. You're not sure if it does any good or not. But what can it hurt? And it doesn't cost that much. So we make an offering just to hedge our bets. And I think that's what Cain was doing. He wasn't offering it in faith. So I think he was offered his sacrifice hoping to earn God's favor. And I think there's textual evidence for that. Because how did he respond when he didn't get God's favor? He got mad. And he got jealous. He wasted his offering. Because it didn't get him what he wanted. And so he was angry and jealous. Meanwhile, Abel offered his sacrifice in faith. What does that mean? Well, it means then something the opposite of what Cain did. When Abel made his offering, he made it knowing that he couldn't buy God's favor with it. He made it knowing. If he knew that he couldn't earn God's favor with his sacrifice, then why would he do it? And here I'm employing some thought. The text doesn't say. But let's think about it. Why, if you know you can't get His favor, then why on earth would you give an offering? You can't buy His favor. Why would you do it? And there's some things that make sense to me. One is because He's worthy. He's worthy. He knows this God. He believes in this God. This is the God of heaven and earth who spoke everything into existence, upon whom all of life depends. And so He gives an offering because God is worthy. Not because He's trying to get something, but because God is worthy. Perhaps it was because He knew that He could only have God's favor as a gift. See, He didn't give it to get God's favor. But he gave it knowing he could only have God's favor as a gift. That's what faith does. And finally, and this might be the best answer, because it's only natural for faith in the living God to lead to sacrifice to the living God. It's how faith expresses itself. And so, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. What made it better? What made it better was that it was offered how? Come on. It doesn't end there. It keeps going. It says, by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. This is a fascinating Fascinating scripture here. See, when God grants His favor as a gift on the basis of faith, historically, you start with Abel and just keep on going, and you find it in Abraham, and you find it with all throughout history up until it culminates with Jesus Christ. When God grants His favor as a gift on the basis of faith, this favor is called righteousness. And that's what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, by faith he was commended as a righteous man. Abel put his faith in God, and God commended Abel as a righteous man. He imparted His righteousness to him. And see, that favor is not only called righteousness, it is righteousness and produces righteous behavior, which in this context is related to sacrifice. By faith, Abraham was commended. Sorry, if I say Abraham when I mean Abel, y'all cut me some slack, Jack. By faith, as Abel put his faith and trust in the Lord, then he was commended as a righteous man. That's what the text says so plainly. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. But it wasn't just God saying he was righteous, because there's supernatural power at work here. And so he was actually being commended as righteous, but you see, he was also doing righteous deeds, wasn't he? And so this righteousness was not just a statement that God made that wasn't true. It was a statement God made that was true. His faith resulted in righteousness, not just in this gift of it and being called that, but in the living out of it. Righteousness was the result of the faith of Abel. And the logic of this text is explicit, and I hope I can help you see it. See, look ahead, let's see this whole thing. If Abel was commended as a righteous man because of his offering, if Abel was commended as a righteous man because of the offering that he made, then righteousness would be on the basis of proper sacrifice. If the text said Abel was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings, if that's all it said, then that would be saying, if you can crack the code, if you know what to do, if you know which animal to put on the altar at which time and how to perfectly slice and dice the animal and burn it, if you can crack the code, then you can be pleasing to God. It's all about this external effort and work that you have to do so that you can gain God's favor. But the text doesn't say that Abel was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. It says that, but it says more. It says, by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And that changes everything. Because it's not about just the proper procedure. The reason Abel was righteous is because of his faith. In other words, the offerings were acceptable because the man was acceptable, not the other way around. And the man was acceptable or righteous. Why? Because he believed. Because he had faith. So this is the gospel message. That we cannot by any means make ourselves acceptable to God. No matter how rigorous of a procedure we follow. And no matter how careful we are with our offerings. There is no sacrifice that we can make that will earn righteousness for us. And that is why Christ died. The righteous for the unrighteous. To bring us to God. God was always going to impart the righteousness of Christ to us on the basis of faith. And that is the only way that we can be acceptable before a holy God. And Abel's a picture of this long before Jesus Christ ever came. When we trust, when we put our faith and our trust in the living God through Jesus Christ, He makes us acceptable. And He makes all of our sacrifices acceptable. Because we trust Him. And that leads to the last phrase. And by faith He still speaks even though He is dead. You see, this part's a little tricky because Abel's blood cried out to the ground after he was murdered. And I said already the idea is that his blood was crying out for vengeance. Then the Lord took vengeance on Cain, so it seems like that would have been taken care of. But somehow I can see that Abel's blood would still be crying out to God to make it right. Have any of you ever suffered horribly? Has anyone? I know none of you have ever been murdered. But have any of you ever lost a loved one to murder? Or had a family member who was raped or assaulted in a violent way? Or perhaps it's even less... Perhaps it's something like a parent who just didn't love you well. And so, as you grow up, you cultivate possibly this sense of vengeance, wanting to make it right. And I tell you, like suppose someone murdered my wife. Even if justice was executed swiftly on the perpetrator, I still would feel like it's not right still. How? And I'm the scripture is in my mind a proponent of capital punishment because of the justice relationship. If you take a life, then you owe a life. But does that really fix anything? And the answer is no. It's just, and therefore I'm okay with it. But it doesn't fix anything. And I can see the blood of Abel. Yes, you've enacted vengeance on Cain, but I can still see the blood of Cain somehow unsatisfied. And see, this I think is what ultimately pushes us toward Jesus Christ, because just think of who Cain was. He was a shepherd. He was a righteous man. And he was murdered, right? Does that remind us of anyone else? Jesus in John 10 said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." You have this righteous man, this righteous shepherd who loves God and lives righteously. And he's unjustly murdered. And you have his blood crying out to the ground, from the ground, that it be made right. And it all points to another shepherd, another righteous shepherd, the ultimate righteous shepherd who would come and be murdered. But even in being murdered, they actually couldn't murder him because he was willfully laying his life down. And when his blood is shed, it doesn't cry out vengeance. In a way it does. But if anything related to vengeance, you know what it says? Satisfied. You know the sin of Cain? It was paid for fully the day Jesus died on the cross. Vengeance, ultimate vengeance, was poured out by God. All of His wrath and hatred towards sin was poured out on His only Son. The real punishment that Cain deserved was poured out on Jesus Christ, the real righteous shepherd. And when His blood cries out from the ground, what does it say? It cries out mercy. It cries out grace. It cries out forgiveness. It's fundamentally different. And it's available to all who will believe. And so by faith, even though he is dead, Abel's blood still speaks. It pointed to the blood of another that would satisfy the vengeance of God and give mercy and grace to all of us who would trust Him. All right, we need to stop real quick, because I know, I bet some of you have dinner plans. But I can tie a bow on this if you go back with me to Genesis chapter 4. Now I think we can understand Genesis chapter 4 a lot better. See, we had this snafu over the offering. And God comes to Cain and He says, God, look, just think of it. God comes to Cain and He speaks to Cain. And He says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Now that sounds to us like works, doesn't it? It does. It's like, look, Abel's doing what's right. He's fine. You're doing what's wrong. And that's why you're in trouble. Just do what's right and you'll be fine. But that's not exactly what's going on here. Because we know that Abel was commended as a righteous man by faith. And that's what resulted in his good work. So we have to read this we have to have a little nuanced interpretation here of chapter 4. So here's what's happening. When God comes to Cain, He speaks to him. And you know what He's doing? Listen to this. He's giving Cain the opportunity to believe. Listen. Just imagine. God comes to you and He speaks to you. Hey, if you do what's right, I will accept you. Now, you can say, okay, and believe that and know that in your head, and then start trying to do what's right. And it won't work for you because you can't do what's right. But if you believe in the Word of God, then something supernatural happens. See, the Word comes, and it's not just like truth. It's a relational promise from God. God says to Cain, do what's right, and I'll accept you. And then what Cain could have done is said, thank you. Okay, I trust you. And because I trust you, I'm going to do it. But you know what? He didn't believe. He didn't begin to do what was right. He didn't trust Him. I think he thought, even if I do what's right, He won't accept me. He didn't believe in the Word of God that came to him so plainly. He rejected the Word of God. And then the warning came. Sin desires to have you, but you must master it. And so he refused to believe. But if Cain would have believed, God would have imparted righteousness. Because that's how it works. He told him, if you do good, I'll accept you. He could have said, okay, I trust you. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I trust you. And what would have happened? God would have given him righteousness. And he would have lived righteously. But he refused to believe. So Cain rejected the Word of God. And he became a slave of sin. And Cain's life did not fall apart because he would not do what was right. It fell apart because he wouldn't believe. And if your life is falling apart, I can tell you why. It's because you won't believe. But I have good news for you. If you're still sucking air, you can repent. You can repent. You can believe today. He said, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know that when I trust you, something supernatural happens. I'm going to put my faith in you and trust you to impart your righteousness to me. I'm going to live by faith. That's what we learn from Cain and Abel. What makes one person acceptable to God? What makes one sacrifice acceptable to God? It's not our procedures. It's our relationship. It's our faith and trust in the living God. Let's trust Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. So amazing how You have done everything for us. And You long for our hearts to be overflowing with faith and confidence in You so that You can pour out all of Your blessings on us and in us and through us. You long for us to trust You so that we can be righteous and live righteously, so that all of our offerings and all of our sacrifices are acceptable to You. Help us not to think we can do it on our own. Help us surrender ourselves to You as a sacrifice of faith and trust You with all of our heart and soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand to your feet. We're going to sing a song and try to be